Last week witnessed one of those events that we all recognize to be important, we just weren't sure what it was. A panel of three federal judges ruled on McCain-Feingold, the legislation which bans so-called soft money contributions that don't go straight to a candidate's campaign, but rather to a party organization. If you had read the Los Angeles Times coverage of that ruling, you would have seen the headline, "Soft Money Ad Ban Upheld." In the Washington Post, it was, "Campaign finance law is partly struck down." The New York Times straddled the fence with the headline, "U.S. Court Issues Discordant Ruling on Campaign Law," although you could see the same New York Times story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune under the headline, "Judges Uphold Major Portions of Campaign Finance Law." It is tempting to call this a case of a glass either half empty or half full, but with 1,700 pages of decisions to which different 2-to-1 majorities contribute different elements, it's more like we're getting estimates of the density of the fluid or its sugar content. Here to sort out this latest thicket of campaign finance is our usual guide through that perilous terrain, NPR's Peter Overby. Good to see you again, Peter.
Thank you, Robert. Good to be here.
First, is it evident from who's claiming victory and who's crying foul about last week's ruling who actually won last week in federal court?
No, it's abundantly unclear who won. You had a disposition going into the decision that the reform advocates would come out way on the losing end. And in fact, it's a split decision where if you go through point by point, they won on enough things that the law is still alive, maybe not intact. And there are even one or two places where the law comes out tougher than when it went into that courtroom.
Well, McCain-Feingold addressed two things, broadly speaking, soft money and so-called issue ads. First, soft money. How did the ban on soft money hold up in last week's ruling?
It didn't hold up all that well, but it didn't get blown out of the water either. What the judges wound up saying is that the parties can raise soft money, but two caveats. First of all, they can't spend that soft money on what the judges call public communication. They can't spend it on radio and TV ads. They can't spend it on phone banking. They can't spend it on direct mail if those things clearly identify a federal candidate. That knocks out a lot of what soft money has been used for in recent elections. The other catch now is that federal office holders and candidates and their agents can't raise or spend soft money, according to the judges.
But this is a far cry from the court saying restrictions on raising such money are unconstitutional because it's free speech.
That's right. They didn't do that, and they tied it to the question of corruption of government. The judges made a lot of factual findings referring back to the thousands of pages of documents that had been provided showing the connections between members of Congress and soft money fundraising.
Yeah, the campaign finance reform advocacy group, Democracy 21, distributed a number of communications that have now been unsealed by the court in which various corporate offices in Washington write back to their head offices saying, we've been solicited for funds by this campaign, and since we already gave to their opponent, we think we should probably do it.
That's right. They showed a direct link between the member of Congress and the soft money contribution, which is what the opponents of the law had said wasn't there.
So some points scored by supporters of the law on that one. What about issue ads, which was the ban on late in the campaign broadcast ads that would suddenly attack a candidate, not from a campaign, but from some third party?
The judges took that and they sort of stood it on its head. What they said is that the way the law was written was not constitutional. What the law had said was you can't run ads identifying a federal candidate within 60 days of a general election, 30 days of a primary election. They didn't like that time frame reference. What the judges did instead is to say you can't ever run an ad like that if you use corporate or union money. So outside groups can still run ads like that, but they have to do it with what are in effect small hard dollar contributions that will be disclosed.
Now, late today, one outside group, the National Rifle Association, asked the court to stay the ban on advertising. What's the NRA's reasoning, and are we likely to see requests for other stays?
Their reasoning is urgent. They are getting ready for a Senate battle soon over protecting gun makers from liability lawsuits. This is a bill the NRA really wants. They've targeted four senators. They already have the scripts written, and they're afraid that these ads would be illegal now. As for other motions to stay, yes, the lawyers say that more will probably follow now that one has been filed.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Peter Overby.